Is this a soft patch or a double-dip recession?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how did we go from economic recovery to talk of a new economic slump so quickly? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down again this morning. The Dow down 47 points, about 0.4% at 12,242. The Nasdaq basically flat right now. The S&P 500 down 0.3%. Companies continue to squeeze more work out of their employees. The government said this morning that productivity increased at a rate of 1.8% in the first quarter of 2011. Analysts say this is the limit, and companies are going to have to hire more workers now to boost output, but then again, they've been saying that for a while. Now let's get to the new concerns about the economy. The bad private sector jobs report we told you about yesterday sent the Dow on its biggest point drop in a year. We found out this morning that 422,000 new people filed claims for unemployment benefits last week. That is not a good number. And now the words double-dip recession are just everywhere today. Diane Swonk is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Diane, how could so much change in 24 hours?
Well, it didn't really change as much as reality set in. What we saw was a tsunami of factors, everything from Europe, Middle East instability to the reality of the production eruptions from Japan, from the earthquake. There all hit the economy all at once. We saw the ADP report showing a big drop in manufacturing employment, which has been the shining star of the recovery. That'll come back. That's the good news. The bad news is if this economy was stronger, it'd be a little more than a blip on a radar screen.
And I feel like there's sort of a fear in the back of people's mind that as Washington starts to pull away some of the stimulus efforts that were put in place after the financial crisis, that maybe we just delayed the inevitable and now the pain's about to come.
Well, basically, we had a massive coronary when we had the financial crisis, and we're lucky to be alive. What Washington did was put us into intensive care, but we're still in the hospital, and rehab is tough.
Rehab is tough. Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much as always. Well, one of the things that's been most worrying to global investors in recent weeks and months, as Diane just said, has been the debt crisis in Europe, and it just got worse. Last night, the ratings agency Moody's cut Greece's credit rating again and said the country now has a 50% chance of defaulting on its debt in the next 5 years. As for the U.S., well, if Washington doesn't make a deal in the next couple of months, we could default on our national debt. Let's bring in our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, to help explain some of the terms that are being thrown around in this debt debate. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, why, Chris, if we miss a payment on the national debt, are we defaulting? Can't we just have a late payment?
Well, you could, but look, you've broken the terms of the loan. But the real question is, what's the context? If you miss a payment on your mortgage or the rent, you just write a check the next month, pay a fee, no big deal.
Right.
But what if you're Greece and your debt is 150% of the economy? It's on its way to 160% of the economy. And most investors believe they can't continue to make those payments. Default becomes serious.
So they think that you just won't be able to make any future payments if you can't make one.
Under the current terms of the loans.
Well, what about restructuring debt? That gets talked about a lot. What does that mean?
Well, this is the important subject because that means they can't make their payments under the current loans. Let's change the terms of those loans. So one way you can change the terms of the loans is say you can owe us less. All right, we'll reduce the interest rate. We'll reduce the overall amount that you owe us. That's a restructuring. You could also change the terms of the loan by extending the length of the loan. Think about a student loan. Mm-hmm. You have a 10-year repayment. You run into trouble. You extend that out to 20 years. You lower your monthly bill at the cost of increasing the overall price of the loan over time, but that's a restructuring. That's also on the table.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks for clearing it all up for us.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. and by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
The Chinese government this morning is denying any involvement in a Google hacking. Google says Chinese hackers tried to steal the passwords of hundreds of Gmail account holders, including those of senior U.S. government officials, Chinese human rights activists, and journalists. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz has the story now from Shanghai.
The FBI says it's working with Google to learn more about the hackers. Shanghai-based tech analyst Michael Clendenin says it's likely one of two groups.
One is government hackers that have a directive to do it. And the other group are independent Chinese hackers that are just a little ticked off that Google thumbed its nose at China. So no matter where Google looks, it's on the losing side of the game.
Clendenin says this latest news may help explain why Google's search engine and its email service inside China have been slow all year. Google says these latest attacks appear to be coming from the city of Jinan in eastern China. Jinan happens to be home to a military base. There's also a vocational college there that U.S. investigators linked to a previous attack on Google. Clendenin says for Google, it may not matter whether the Chinese government is behind the attack. He says Google's continued refusal to censor its own search engine in China will mean more attacks to come. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Well, while we're on the subject of China, a new survey called the Global Happiness Index says that China is the happiest place on Earth. North Korea is a close second in the survey, scoring 98 out of 100 points. Cuba, Iran, and Venezuela round out the top five. As for the United States, well, we didn't do so well in this particular survey, coming in dead last out of 203 countries. If you want to know more about the survey, you'll just have to ask the North Korean researchers who did it yourself. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines. At Marketplace, we believe it can be lots of things like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
So whether you need news or the numbers or a good laugh, join us for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.